I really think, you know, in all honesty, what this guy was trying to tell me was that, one, you know, we came in and worked hard every day. And when we hit the clock at the end of the day, we really felt, one, we put in an honest day's work for an honest day's wage, but we made a difference at the company. And, you know, kind of thinking back, I've been thinking about that for a number of years and that gentleman talking to me. And, you know, I don't know what everybody else thinks. I don't care. But every day when I go home and think about my experiences, not only from my current position, previous positions, you know, I made a difference in this guy's life, and which in turn made a difference in the bottom line of the company. So we can sit here and we can talk about it. It's always about money. It's always about benefits. It's about this or that, whatever you want to talk about. But I truly believe deep down that it's about, one, is the leadership you provide your technicians on the floor, and two, is do they feel at the end of the day that they added value to the company at the bottom line? So, I don't know. We can sit here, we can disagree back forth. You can look at different, you know, leaders in the industry and the skilled trades and say, hey, well, this guy's, you know, he's an authoritarian style leader, or, you know, he's kind of maybe a leader by consensus. But, you know, I think really you need to tap into the emotional intelligence of your team members. This is all the way down to, you know a little bit of about them, you know, and give them positive or negative feedback. I remember also a company I worked for a number of years ago. I had a plant manager. Before I took the role, I thought this guy was the biggest prick in the world. And, you know, when they offered me the position, it was an internal promotion, by the way. So we all know, we can make a little joke here that they're going to try to go cheap on you and not try to pay you what you feel you're worth. But that's a whole nother conversation we can get to in another episode. But this guy, you know, I could order hundreds of thousands of dollars in spare parts. Never ask a question. But the day he walks around the corner coming to the maintenance shop and the maintenance office, and he has a piece of paper in his hand. I know what that fucking piece of paper was. Excuse my language. But what it was is he was wanting to question the $100 requisition I put in for flashlights for the team. You know, and that shit used to drive me insane. I really did. And finally, one day, and I'm going to call this my plant manager at the time, Scott. I said, Scott, you know, after he questioned me over, you know, a little $100 requisition, I said, you know, you're sitting here coming back here every day busting my balls about these $100 requisitions or, you know, whatever, a small dollar amount. When, you know, I'll run a $100,000 requisition through you, and you never ask me a question. And he goes, he looked at me straight up. He goes, you know, if I watch the pennies, the dollars will take care of themselves. So that was a good learning experience for me as well. The second thing is every day, not every day, but, you know, at a minimum, once per week, this guy, he would schedule a walk. Now, granted, we had almost 1 million square feet under roof. We're going to walk the facility. So, you know, I'm ready. Granted, today we didn't, you know, back then we didn't have the technology we did today. But so I had my notebook there. I had everything we were working on, everything we were planning, waiting apart, so on and so forth. And then, of course, you know, after a few years working with this guy, I knew his pet peeves. I knew what upset him. So I had that on the list, and, you know, I'm my guns are loaded. I'm ready to, you know, say, hey, we're on this, Scout. We're ready to go. And after, oh man, I think it was about 4 or 5 months, you know, we'd go on these walks. These walks lasted like 3 hours. And it's like, sometimes you're thinking, Christ, I don't have the fucking time of the day just to walk around the facility with you and, you know, look at this, look at that. And, you know, hey, I've got my plan in place. You know, I'm working my plan. You know, and taking care of the things that come up that, you know, potentially could derail my plan. So, like I said, after, you know, a few months of doing this and, you know, we really didn't accomplish anything. And I'm watching this guy and walking around with him. And I mean, we're talking, I mean, we went in every nook and cranny. We went in the engine room. We went into every electrical control room. We went through and we just walked the whole facility. But most of the time, what I observed is, you know, he was out there, you know, he was talking to everybody. This guy knew everybody by their first name, knew something about them. And so one day I was like, Scott, I got to ask you a question. We do these walks, you know, one or more times per week. And I said, you know, we never really accomplish anything. All you do is you go out and you talk to Tom, Dick, and Harry. You know, maybe it's 30 seconds, maybe it's 5 minutes, maybe it's even 10 minutes talking to, you know, different team members, be it in maintenance, be it in, you know, operations, be it in quality or whatever, you know, aspect of the business they work in. And, what are we doing here? He goes, you know, he looked at me with a, you know, this little, he used to have this little shit ass eating grin. And excuse me, I might have a drink of my, Busch Light here. And he goes, you know, he goes, that's why I have you. That's why I have Tim. I have Stephanie. I have Stacy. You know, we had all the senior leadership of the whole facility. He goes, you know what? He goes, my most important asset are these people out here on the floor. I don't have to worry about you not taking care of equipment that's broken down or, you know, increasing the reliability. He goes, that's why I hired you. I have experts. He goes, my job's actually fairly easy. He goes, I go out, I talk to people, glad hand, you know, you talk to them a little bit about, you know, their personal life, you know, their spouse, you know, if they have kids, you know, if they're active in the community. And he goes, like, he goes, that's all I need to do. He goes, I've hired each and every one of my senior leadership in the facility to perform a function. And I have the utmost confidence in each and every one of you that you're doing the job. So my job is to go out here and make sure our most important assets are taken care of. They feel valued. And it was funny because he goes, now you realize, he goes, and this goes back to day one, you know, when he became the plant manager, he would actually, every orientation group, new people we hired in the facility, this guy would schedule 1 hour. Didn't matter the size, if it was five people or if it was 20 people, he would take 1 hour, no matter what. It didn't make care if some VP or somebody was coming in. If this was his scheduled hour, he was going to be there. And what he did, he was a fan of the old school yellow ruled notebooks. And he would just start at the front table, left to right, you know, back through the rows. And he would, you know, ask that guy his name, you know, if he was married. If he was married, you know, hey, what's your spouse's name or significant other? Do you have kids? Do your kids play any sports? And he would sit there and write down everything in a notebook. And I said, well, what do you do with all those notebooks? He goes, well, I study them. He goes, outside of the equipment, these people are what makes us a profitable business. He goes, so I go out here, I make sure they're taken care of. I listen to their comments, their concerns, their complaints. And that's all I need to do. And he goes, other than that, I watch the P&L. And he goes, that's why I'm looking at your $100 requisitions, because you may put in one $100,000 requisition once per year, but he goes, you may do 500 of these $100 or less requisitions, and it just goes back. Watch the pennies, the dollars will take care of themselves. So you're kind of thinking back, you know, what we've been talking about tonight. I know I've rambled on here and there. It goes back to the leadership in the facility to retain those good team members and give them a sense of adding value every day. And I think for the most part, you know, if we can accomplish those two things, you know, giving them a sense of value, providing good, sound leadership, Does the money matter? Yes, it does. Plain and simple. We're not going to sit here and sugarcoat it. It's like, hey, we're not. If the guy gets a $5 an hour raise to go somewhere else, you know what? It doesn't matter what kind of, you know, value added he feels, or if he has the greatest leader in the world, the guy's probably going to bail. Let's be honest about that. $5 an hour, 40 hours a week on straight time, 200 bills in his pocket. You know, he's probably going to leave the company. But where if you get the guy that gets an opportunity from another company for maybe it's only 50 cents an hour, if you've provided him a sense of value and good, solid leadership, the guy's probably going to flat out stay. He's going to say, no, I don't need that 50 cents. Because what does that 50 cents equal out to in the long run? Probably he's going to go to a company that doesn't have the sound leadership that you have put in place. Or he's going to be in the same old situation where it's a reactionary style. You know, it's, hey, whatever's on fire today, we're going to put that fire out and go on our merry way. If we don't have another fire to go to, we're going to go sit in the maintenance shop, you know, maybe polish our tools, you know, watch some pirated TV somewhere, you know, look on YouTube, Google this, Google that, you know, maybe rebuild my motor on this side. So I think that those are some very important things to remember. You know, we can look at different opportunities. You know, we can look at the training opportunities. You know, there's a lot of great companies out there today that are doing an outstanding job of in-house training. You know, they're bringing in the technical experts. You know, maybe it's OEMs. Maybe it's, you know, some other company that's, you know, the latest fad they're training on, or the latest controller, whatever. Maybe it's one of your local suppliers. They provide training on, you know, XYZ skills. But when you really look at that, and I have found out throughout the course of my career, is look at the value you're getting out of that training. Okay, so if you've tailored the training specifically to your business, you know, be it, you know, pharmaceutical, oil and gas, food processing, automotive, heavy industrial, you know, you are training that guy only to work on the equipment you have. Where, I'm not saying that's a bad thing. There are both pros and cons to that approach. What I have found over my career is I get better value if I send that guy out to a formalized training program via, you know, something like the local technical community college has. Maybe they have a structured program, or they're in partnership with multiple companies in the area where they develop a maintenance training program where they get a certificate or something of completion, they graduate, whatever you want to call it, where they can take that with them. It's adding something to their resume where the potential does exist, and you could lose people. We understand that. But when you look at the both pros and cons of each one, I feel the offsite, you know, standardized training, be it electrical, mechanical, pneumatic, hydraulic, whatever, is more beneficial. Because one, you're getting that individual out of the plant where all that white noise is. You know, maybe he's sitting in a conference room or a training room in the plant. You know, radios are going off. You know, there's easily access to emails or your CMMS, your computerized maintenance management system. You know, so there's always a distraction. So I feel, and it's just an opinion, you know, we can debate this all day, whatever, but they probably only pick up about 10 to 15% of that, where if you get that individual outside of the facility, we get rid of the distractions, the white noise again, and he goes through, passes a seminar, the course or whatever, you know, he's probably going to retain 35, maybe even 40% of that information. Bring it back to your facility and you know, help you improve, help your team improve, you know, provide training to others that may not have that, but it's something that technician can take with them. Granted, we'd like to keep them, you know, for an extended period of time, but we have to realize, again, in this day and age with the difference in generations, and I'm not sitting here and saying I'm the youngest guy or the oldest guy around here, but we have to realize that, you know, it's more than about the money. It's more than, you know, the work-life balance. It's about what's in it for me and what can I do with this, you know. But if you give that person the feeling of value and provide him good, sound leadership, you're not going to have a high turnover. You know, even if there's, you know, the $1 or $2, been there, done that many times over my career, where if I've done my job well as being a leader in maintenance, this guy's going to stay. Even though it might be $2, what is really $2? You know, over a 40-hour standard work week, that's $80. You know, times that by 52 weeks a year, you know, this guy comes into my facility, he knows what he's going to do 85% of the time, day in and day out. Is he going to take a chance for that $80 to go over to some place that's you know, damn the torpedoes, full speed ahead, your hair's on fire 100% of the time, you're reacting to this, you're reacting to that. There's no structure. You're just reacting to the flavor of the day or whoever's bitching the loudest about, you know, this isn't running right, you know, blah, 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 whatever. We can talk about that. So I think they're, you know, going back again, and I hate to sound or I hate to repeat myself, but you know, look at those two things. Look at your current leadership. You know, even look at yourself. If you're the top maintenance leader in your facility or company, look at yourself first. Am I providing solid leadership to my team members? Do they feel they're adding value to the company? If you can say yes, you go to your next level. Is your maintenance superintendent? Is a maintenance supervisor? Is it a maintenance lead? Is it a highly technical skilled position? You know, really ask that question yourself. Ask that question of that leader. You know, see what their opinion is. If they're just one of these guys that, you know, hey, I'm here to just fix shit that's broken. Well, I really don't have a use for a lot of those guys, but I have a lot of use for guys that, hey, I can prevent that from breaking. Okay, tell me how. You know, engage that person. So, I really want to expand on this a little bit more. I have a special guest next week. Salute out to all the veterans that served our countries. November 11th, Veterans Day this year. So I know a lot of us out there in the field are veterans or know somebody that's a veteran. So I want to expand on this a little bit more. We're going to go into, you know, a little more recruiting. I have a special guest next week. Hopefully they can make it. And we'll talk a little bit more about this. So I'll wrap today's show up and say, hey, thanks for everybody listening. If you'd like to be on the show, if you'd like to give feedback, just email me at freddyshaft70@gmail.com. And I'll answer your questions, get you scheduled to be on. Give us your opinion. This is what it's about. I'm not sitting here preaching my ideas, my you know, leadership style. I want to hear it from everybody. What works for me may not work for you. You know, you may have a little different take on it than what I do. And it may be just, you know, maybe it's an industry that I'm in versus your industry, so on and so forth. But hey, everybody have a great weekend. Again, go ahead and shoot me an email at freddyshaft70@gmail.com. And we'll talk to you next week. Take care. Hey, welcome back, everyone, to Two Guys in a Toolbox with your host, Freddie Schaap. It's a fabulous Friday. Kids are fed. It's time to enjoy a few adult beverages down in the privacy of my home bar this evening. It's been a long week. I do apologize. I wanted to get an episode out sooner, but with the work schedule and everything, everybody, I think, understands how that goes. Starting out this week, I'd really like to send a huge thanks out to Dark Slayer and everybody else that sent in some compliments and had some really good questions they wanted to talk about this week in regards to the maintenance realm. As usual, I'm down here with my faithful German Shepherd dog laying here next to the fireplace going. A little chilly out there this week. Got our first snowfall. So, hey, let's get into it today. This week, the reoccurring theme that I got in responses from the listeners out there was maintenance turnover. What are we doing today to reduce the amount of turnover we have in our maintenance departments? I think one of the biggest things that we need to identify within our own groups is why are our multi-skilled, highly qualified technicians leaving? Does it have to do with money? How much are they getting paid an hour? Is it time off? Do they have the proper work-life balance? In this day and age, and I'm not going to get into a whole lot of politics here, but is it the benefits that their current position has to offer? Is it the schedule? Are we working our guys to death, you know, where we're working them 70 to 80 hours a week? Or are we in a position that we do not offer any overtime opportunities for our skilled trades? Is it training opportunities? When you look at your training opportunities, you know, we really need to look at the value that we're getting from either one, in-house trainings, or are we sending our technicians out to, you know, different seminars? Are we sending them for college-level technical courses to be taken? Do our technicians feel valued? Are they making a difference to the bottom line of the company? And is it leadership? Now, over the course of my career, I've had several outstanding opportunities. I think I want to share with one situation that I've had over the course of my career. I was actually hired as a maintenance manager for a brand new state-of-the-art facility. Where it was located at in the country, we had, if I recall correctly, about 85 positions to fill. That was from hourly technicians. You have to excuse me here. 85 technicians. We had to hire 4 shift managers because we were going to work a 24/7 schedule. And then I had a full complement utility supervisor, which handled predominantly our refrigeration for the facility. During that time, during the interview process and hiring time, we had over 7,000 applicants. I mean, that is just, I mean, when you really think of the numbers, we were looking to hire 85, we had over 7,000 applicants. We had our choice to choose from. We could choose the cream of the crop. You know, we didn't have to, you know, look at folks that may have the potential. I mean, we could go right for the go. So if we were looking for a controls guy, we had it. If we were looking for a robotics guy, they were there. Electronics tech. You know, good overall general maintenance team members. So throughout this whole process, you know, we did a lot of on-site interviews. We did multiple interviews. During this process, I hired my leadership team first. Going back and thinking about, you know, the leaders I hired to be the first line supervisors on that shift, I feel I really did a good job. You know, but in all honesty, I probably missed the boat on, one, maybe two people, which, I didn't have a choice in one circumstance, just because it was a political, new company in a new area. So, hey, we had to hire, so-and-so that was, for no better terms, juiced into the community. So to give you a little background on the majority, I would say probably 95% of the people we hired were from the local community, surrounding areas, so on and so forth. The area we were hiring in was economically depressed at the time. They had lost, this goes back several years, obviously, to our economic downturn we had in the United States. So there was a lot of folks out there looking for a job. And I spent, I think it was kind of thinking back, about 7 years at this facility. And, you know, typically the background we hired a lot of these techs from was a reactionary maintenance team. You know, if we're not out there working on the latest downtime event, we were just, these guys were, you know, kind of conditioned. And it was a fault of leadership at that previous, where they, whatever company they were working at before. Straight up fault of leadership, they weren't actively engaging their team members. So most of these guys that came in, they didn't understand about, you know, having their work day scheduled. So when we get around to talking about a work day schedule, what I really want to talk about is guy shows up for work that day. Before he even comes over to the maintenance shop, maybe he has his mobile device. It's either a tablet or, you know, an Android device. As he's walking over, he's punched a clock. This guy, let's say he's working a 10-hour shift, he knows before he even gets over there to meet with his supervisor that he's got about 90% of his day scheduled. You know, we're going to work the, you know, these are these jobs we're going to, we've developed a plan. And, with, you know, this guy knows he's going to work on these, you know, planned maintenance activities day in and day out. Where, you know, it could be a preventive maintenance inspection. It could be a predictive maintenance item. So on and so forth. And the point is these guys just weren't coming in and, you know, figuring out, okay, what am I going to do today? Am I going to sit around? Maybe I've hooked up some satellite TV deal in the back of the electronic shop somewhere. We're going to play video games, maybe chat with so-and-so on some social media app today or whatever. So the point I'm making is before these guys even showed up to have any interaction with their first line supervisor, they knew the bulk of their day was scheduled. And if you look, looking back at the numbers, the KPIs and metrics we used to evaluate our maintenance teams on a weekly, quarterly, biannual, annual basis was, you know, we were working on about 85% of the time planned maintenance activities. Now, after about, you know, 7 years, I decided to take another opportunity. And what amazed me when I left, you know, I had this massive three-tier cake. You know, everybody on all the shifts, they pitched in, they bought this cake for me, and I had this massive trophy. It was an old bowling trophy that somebody picked up at, some yard sale, flea market or something. And they actually did, we had a guy there, he was into, his hobby was graphic arts. He was an outstanding artist, plus he was a, you know, just an overall outstanding maintenance technician. And they made a little figure and put me on the top. And I mean, this thing was like 4.5 feet tall. And I walked in I think it was my last morning there when I walked in. And they had the cake there, you know, they had the trophy there, and I had all of those guys showed up. And I remember them, and one guy in particular, this guy's name was Billy Spurlock. And, you know, we had developed a relationship, you know, he was just one of those guys, you know, pleasure to talk to, interact with, you know, knew about his family life, what he liked to do and his hobbies. And he goes, you know, been working for you for about 7 years now. And he goes, you know, I've never worked this hard in my whole life. But what I always appreciated when I walked in the door every day, 85% of the time, I knew what I was going to do was helping the company improve the bottom line.